Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the privilege we have to be your church, to worship you. We pray that we would hear from you this morning from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I used to ride my bike down Hillcrest Avenue past the Sunken Gardens to Concannon Boulevard, and then along the Royal Mocho Stream in Robertson's Park. Often it was just a little trickle because of the weather that was dry and hot. And I'd go across town in Livermore, California. It was great getting out to Concannon because the bike path veered away from the roads and the cars, and the natural setting along the stream was always quieter, vibrant with wildlife and things to see. I also loved it because the path would go through carefully laid out vineyards. These rows and rows of gnarly, verdant vines have been cultivated in my hometown since Robert Livermore moved there and planted the first vine in 1840. It was Livermore Wines that put California wineries on the map by winning the grand prize at the Paris Exposition in 1889, coming from out of nowhere in a competition with very established European wineries. All of a sudden, here was Livermore. The Wente Winery was founded in 1883, and it's the oldest continuously operating family-owned, they have a little distinctive winery in the country. In case you're interested, this is just a freebie. The oldest winery in America that's still operating is Brotherhood Winery, founded in 1839 in Washingtonville, New York, and it's the oldest. So that's just a side note. Anyway, it's estimated that 80% of the Chardonnay grapes grown in California come from the Wente clone, and 80% of the Cabernet comes from nearby Concannon vineyards. And so thinking about wine country, the country of my birth, the rolling hills of the Livermore Valley, makes this morning's passage a little bit like coming home. Because we learn about how Jesus uses the imagery of the vine and the branches. Jesus makes this extravagant claim about himself that he is the vine to which we should be connected. He has a clear message about how we're to live in relation to him, how we orient our lives, how we orient our souls to Jesus leads to either intimacy with God or isolation from him. So if you would, turn with me to John chapter 15. We'll read the first 8 verses this morning. And so let's read what Jesus claims, what he's saying about himself. John chapter 15. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you're clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." Vineyards pop up all throughout the Old Testament. Noah plants a vineyard after departing the ark in Genesis chapter 9. The spies that Moses sends out into Canaan to scout it out, they brought back a large grape cluster as a sign of the land's abundance and its agricultural richness. Vineyards figure into the blessings and curses in Deuteronomy. If you obey me, I will bless your vineyards. If you disobey me, your vineyards won't prosper. They're symbols for celebration and fertility, for erotic pleasure, for health and abundance, all these different themes throughout the biblical story. But the prevailing narrative and this metaphor used in the Hebrew Scriptures is a vineyard planted and tended by God that doesn't produce fruit. We saw this in Psalm 80, where a vineyard that God planted is destroyed and burned because of the people's wickedness. And the psalmist there is crying out for restored relationship in the face of God's judgment. Oh, would you tend the vineyard again? Could it flourish again? Listen to Isaiah 5, describing God's dismay at his people. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And then a little bit later in verse 7, we get the explanation of that vineyard. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, an outcry. Jeremiah 2 has similar imagery. Yet I planted you a choice vine, holy of pure seed. How then have you turned degenerate and become a wild vine? The story in the Old Testament of God is of God's great sadness. And his anger that his people are not concerned for what is just, for what's right, for what's beautiful, for what's holy. They're not honoring God's ways. They have everything they need to thrive, but instead, they're not producing. They're dishonoring God with their wicked behavior and their idolatrous ways. And so this helps us understand what Jesus is saying here. He's not just a Middle Easterner looking around at this arid land where there's vineyards and saying, ah, grapes, I'll use that as an idea. No, he is looking back to this imagery from the Old Testament. If Israel was the vine that God planted, that rejected the hands of the vine dresser, Jesus says, I am the true vine, perfectly responsive to the hands of that vine dresser, because he's my Father. He's the vine Israel was supposed to be. Jesus is a vine that's the source of life and the sustaining energy that produces good fruit. Remember back in John chapter 1, verse 4, in him was life. Is following Jesus your life? Is pleasing him, being like him, trusting him your chief concern? When we consider all that Christ has done, when we consider how wayward our hearts can often be, questions like this can wreck us. Am I really for Jesus? The life that Jesus offers is not meant to destroy us, but it's to call us to something better. And so Jesus repeats himself in verse 5, I am the vine. And then he makes explicit that his followers are fruit-filled branches. Jesus is saying that you and I, unlike the unfruitful and unfaithful vine of Israel, the branches that remain connected to him, the true vine will do what the old vine never did: produce good fruit. That's what a branch wants to do. That's their job, the reason for existence. Branches that don't produce, well, they're cut off. They're disconnected branches, end up in the stick and burn pile. It's not producing anything of value or of benefit. There's no life in it. What are branches supposed to do? Produce fruit. So if you want to know, what's God saying to me right now? If you're unsure what his will for your life is, you're trying to discern the next steps, let me say it's simple. Do the two things that a healthy branch does. Stay connected to the vine and produce good fruit. That's what God's will is for you. Stay connected. The relationship to Jesus keeps you alive. It helps you achieve your purpose. It fulfills you in every way. That's the claim. I am the true vine, you're the branches. The life of you, the life that you have is flowing out of my life. And so if we leave Jesus, what are we running to? With what are we replacing our dependence and trust in Jesus? The branch that cuts itself off and depends on itself just dries up and withers. So you say, I'm so lonely though. Abide in Jesus. You say, my appetites, my addictions, my obsessions, they seem to be pulling me away. Remain with Jesus today. I feel empty and spiritually bankrupt. Continue to stay with Jesus for your soul's nurture. He'll feed you. You don't understand the deep anguish. My life seems to be slipping away. Let Jesus feed your soul. Stay connected to the true vine. Don't give up. One writer says, the Christian life is characterized by unexhausted and inexhaustible power for fresh creation. Jesus' main point is that we should not be a disconnected twig, but a healthy branch connected to that abundant and flowing energy of his life, this life-giving vine. Did you know that the grapes can shoot their roots down 20 feet? You know, grapes, they're not usually that big. They're maybe 5 feet off the ground. 20 feet, 25 feet, their roots can go down. Some have even gone down to 40 feet looking for water. They're incredibly resilient, and as long as you're connected to that main vine, you receive the supply from the main vine. Life with Jesus is it's a life full of power to produce. It's the vitality of fresh creation in our lives every day. Think about it. The God who spoke the world into existence has sent his Son to give you a life that flows from him. And so that same creative energy isn't set off to the side, it's in your life. So if you're a young person, what am I going to do with my life? Stay connected to the vine and let God guide that energy into your life as you make decisions in the world. Maybe you're about to retire. What am I going to do next? Let the life of Jesus flow into your life and guide those decisions. Jesus says in verse 6 that if you remain in him, you will bear much fruit. Branches are supposed to produce fruit. In verse 7, just note that Jesus says that if we abide in him, it affects our prayers. So as we align with the purposes of Jesus, as we stay connected to his life, our will aligns with his. And so what the branch wants is what the vine wants. It's to produce fruit. And that's why it's easy for Jesus to say, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be granted, because the branch is depending on the vine. There's no room between you and the vine. You're interconnected. And so our dependence on Jesus informs our every prayer. Fruitful branches pray for the things that matter most to God. Our hearts will pray for the outcast and the fatherless and the widow and the incarcerated. We'll bring before the Father the poor and the refugee and the addicted and the abused. Trusting in Jesus causes our prayers to burst forth like succulent fruit, asking God for greater things in his kingdom. So prayers and lives like this bring glory to the Father. That's what Jesus says at the end. This brings glory to the Father. The one who planted, the one who tends the vineyard, he's the one that gets the credit for the beautiful crop, because it's his work from the beginning. God's glorified when we bear fruit in our lives. And Jesus says, this is how we demonstrate that we're his disciples, by bearing fruit. So that's kind of the picture here, but what does it mean to abide? How do we abide in the daily grind of a complex world with a lot of competing claims on our time and our attention and resources? You say, like, you don't even know how hard it was just for me to get to church today, let alone abide all the time, remaining. For that matter, what does it mean to bear fruit? Just a bit later in John 15, Jesus defines remaining or abiding in him as remaining in his love. He compares this with the love that he has for the Father. So he says, I love the Father loves me, we're abiding, we're remaining together. That's what you should do. Receiving Christ's love, remaining in his love, is demonstrated by obedience to his commands. And so if you want to know how to abide with Jesus, it's by obeying him. Jesus says this will bring you joy. A command that brings joy? Well, what does Jesus command? This is my commandment, verse 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love one another in the way that I loved you. Bearing fruit means living out this life dependent on the love and the life of Christ. It also leads to this ongoing telling of the message and the love of Jesus to those who don't know, because that's the most loving thing you can do, right? You're connected to that vine. You're receiving that life. Why not tell someone else where you've got this beautiful life? D.A. Carson writes of this call to remain in the vine and then produce fruit. He says, quote, simultaneously, it's a mandate to Christ's followers, stay connected, and it's a summons, an invitation to those who do not yet know him. That's why the union of love that joins believers with Jesus can never become a comfortable, exclusivistic huddle that only they can share. Abiding in the vine is a way of life, and it's a summoning others to come and be nourished by the eternal vine. That's the fruit of a connected branch. Remember back in John 13 when Jesus washes his disciples' feet, and this servant's act demonstrates his love. So he can say, as I've served you, you serve each other. The fruit of the Christian life is to reflect and live out this nourishing example of service and of love in our own lives. Jesus has appointed good work for us to do in this life, and that's reflective of his love. It's reflective of his service, his sacrifice. We demonstrate his abiding presence by expressing that same love for others. And so the Christian life is to be characterized by love for others. The fruit of the Jesus vine is practiced every day as authentic care in the ordinary moments at home. Are you loving like Jesus? In your workplace, in your school, in your neighborhood lives. That bearing of fruit, expressing love for others, serving others in the ordinary moments and the tasks of our life can make us wonder, does this even matter? It's just a normal little thing. It can be easy to become discouraged and bored, disinterested. We have to trust that staying connected to the divine will produce a beautiful harvest in its proper time. I came across the most lovely children's book recently by Helen Ward. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called The Tin Forest. Anyone read The Tin Forest? I commend it to you. It tells the story of an old man who lives in a wasteland of trash without life or beauty. And he begins to work day by day to bring order and beauty, to make a better world. He has a hope that through his efforts, life might return. And through his faithful work, one day a bird visits, and he feeds it with just some crumbs from his sandwich. And the bird sings a song, but then it leaves. And the man's incredibly lonely. But eventually, the bird returns with his wife, and this begins slowly to reintroduce life into the wasteland. And the tin forest is replaced by a alive and vibrant forest with all the variety and beauty and wildness of a diverse forest ecosystem. And the illustrator, Wayne Anderson, just did this masterful job of showing the contrast between the desolate world outside and the light and the energy that was produced by the old man. And as his work continued, the cold and muted world slowly warms in color and it brightens, starting from the little home of this old man. And it begins to spread until the whole world is remade. Sometimes our work as Christians is like this. We may feel in our humdrum lives that we're in the midst of a wasteland and all of our efforts may not be producing much change. But brothers and sisters, we have the warmth of a home. We have a real connection to the author of life. We're nourished like a branch connected to a vine to produce clusters of fruit that slowly but surely transform the world. These clusters bring glory to God because he's the one nurturing the vineyard of our lives as we're connected to that true vine. Bearing fruit means sharing a kind word with someone who has nothing but harsh words for you. Bearing fruit means fixing things that are broken. It means doing the little things you don't enjoy at home to help someone else out, even when they're grumpy. Bearing fruit means refusing to hold grudges, even though you're deeply aggrieved. Bearing fruit means being honest with someone who's hurting themselves and others. Bearing fruit means going with less to give your money away to those who need it more. It means stopping someone right then and there to pray with them. It means being a good, kind boss, looking out for her employees, even when they're unkind. Bearing fruit means not speaking ill of your boss or your teacher, even when everyone else around you is. Don't underestimate the variety of ways that you can bear fruit today. And also don't think that bearing fruit is dependent on you getting it right all the time. Rather, stay connected to the true vine. And you'll see that as we love one another as a church, and as we do these types of things in the world, we are seeing this tin world remade into a wild and a beautiful world that's shaded by a vine whose branches are reaching out to cover the whole earth. That's what Jesus came to do. In us and through us as branches connected to the vine. And so Jesus is the true vine in which we draw our sustenance and we produce fruit for God's glory. And there's no more compelling evidence of God's love than what's represented here at the table. Jesus, the Son of God, gave his body up for your body. He spilled his lifeblood for your life. It's the expression of love that nourishes the heart of those who follow Jesus. And so as you receive these elements, consider that this is the sustenance that you need to go and do likewise. You're able to self-sacrificially love because he first loved you. Jesus said he wouldn't drink again from the fruit of the vine until he drinks it anew in his Father's kingdom. Could it be that he's waiting for the ripening of your life? The fruit of your life matters because it's an expression of your connection to the author of life. So as you multiply this love and this goodness in the world, this brings glory and honor to God because you do it not for your own fame, but for the fame of the living God. And he'll harvest that good fruit and make it into the grand prize winning wine that will reveal the glory of heaven. Let's pray. Lord, the power of life flowing through a vine into its branches, producing fruit. What a vivid image for us today. We pray that we would meditate on it, on the strength of the vine, and in our connection to you, the living true vine. Help us to be a people who hear this word, apply it to our life, and produce good fruit day by day. We need your help by your Spirit every day, and we ask for it together as your church. Draw people to yourself. Connect them to you, the true vine, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.